The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, they signed with Brooklyn for moments like this.
A day at a time, a second at a time, see what happens.
You gotta keep being nice, hope we're gonna be okay.
Irving with a double move. Blake Griffin has found the youth.
Don't take anything for granted.
This is just a clinic every way possible.
We got a long ways to go. Amazing team on the other side, they're gonna come with it.
Jalen Rose, I'm David Jacoby. We are Jalen and Jacoby. What exactly is it that we do?
We give the people what they want.
The people of Phoenix got what they want last night with a Game 1 win against the Nuggets. Will the people of Wisconsin get what they want? And Aaron Rodgers at camp. We have those updates for you, but we start with the Nets and the Bucks. Critical Game 2 in Brooklyn, and the Bucks didn't just lose this one. They got waxed. They were down by 49 at one point. Waxed. You picked this team to win this series. What happened in these first two games?
Back up from the buffet table and let an artist formerly known as Kangaroo Jalen cook. I did pick the Bucks to win this series. And you know what? I'm really disappointed in them. Not that they're losing, but how they're getting beat. James Harden leaves after the first minute in game one. When you drop that game as a squad, Jacoby, you go into the locker room and you're like, they ain't beating us in game two without James Harden. And then you come out and get waxed. And so let me point out how it's important not only that the Nets are winning, but how they're winning. If you notice that double crossover by Kevin Durant when he got the and one, that was against Giannis. Did you see Kyrie Irving skate in the park at the three line and pull up for three? That's against Giannis. Do you see Blake Griffin go baseline? Kaiser Soze in Detroit going baseline and actually dunking in the playoff game on Giannis, the reigning defensive player of the year? And so when KD drives by him like this, and he does the up and under and lays it up, it's like a sense of defeat. So no, they're not gonna win four or five games. Yes, my prediction is incorrect. I can give you all of the basketball points about they should play Bobby Portis more and they're missing DiVincenzo. And yes, Middleton struggled at the beginning of the game and Drew Holiday still has to play better. But this time of the year, it's about your superstars. It's about your headliners. And in this year's playoffs, Giannis has made five shots outside of the paint. Only five. And he's made 23 of 43 free throws. So when your best player isn't making shots and isn't confident, that's going to have a trickle-down effect to the rest of the squad. And so you were right. The talent of the Nets and the great shot-making of Iceberg Slim, who was shooting trays from the suburbs, and Kyrie Irving, who shows me what it would be like if a Harlem Globetrotter played in the league, is putting on a show. And these buckets, Jacoby, are loud. Like, if you look at the stats, KD probably had like 35 or so. He had less than 40.
32.
But they was loud. Like, Kyrie's buckets, ooh, ah, oh! And when that's happening, you're in trouble when you're the opposition.
I mean,
and the Milwaukee Bucks, my pick, is in trouble.
First of all, when you first made this pick, I told you you would regret it. And I told you that you would change it. Did I not tell you? I was like, really? You think the Bucks are going to beat the Nets? And you mentioned them missing DiVincenzo. The Nets are missing James Harden. James Harden, a former MVP.
And
these
James
games
Green.
Aren't even competitive. They were down by 49. 49 points at one point. The Stars didn't even have to play in the fourth quarter. This Bucks team is melting down like they do in every playoff series. They need to win all of their games in Milwaukee just to make this competitive, and they will not. Before we move on, I just do want to give a big shout to Blake Griffin quickly, because he had like 7 points. He wasn't lighting up, but what he was doing with Giannis, he gave Giannis problems. Look at that, 3 for 8. And the average field goal attempt distance when Blake Griffin is shutting down Giannis's drives is the free throw line. And we all know that Giannis is going to score around the basket. He's not going to score outside of that. And Blake Griffin and a little help from Claxton did a great job of defending him. They did a great job.
But we all don't know that. Giannis should be able to make his mid-range shots. He is an improved three-point shooter. He should be making his free throws.
Do you see?
So many former Pistons, Reggie Jackson, Lou Kennard, Blake Griffin.
Pistons ain't in the playoffs.
Brown ain't performing about the well in the playoffs.
Let's move on to the other game, the nightcap in Phoenix between the Denver Nuggets and the Suns. You and I both thought that the Nuggets had an advantage in this series. Well, guess what? It was Chris Paul, Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton just playing really well and pulling away in the second half to get the win. What did you see on the floor last night?
So it's our job sometimes to do predictions, but it's extremely difficult because you don't know the extremity of injuries. And so many teams this year have been plagued by injuries, including the Phoenix Suns. And I saw something last night. I saw all NBA Chris Paul. I saw the guy I voted fourth in the MVP race. He's back healthy, Jacoby. And he was 6 for 6 in the fourth quarter. He also had 11 assists. He was also being a great leader and a great general. And before I know it, Mikal Bridges was having a breakout game. And DeAndre Ayton continues to improve. And so having that guy with Booker going against the Joker, no Murray, haven't seen Barton just yet. Michael Porter Jr. tweaked his back. The Phoenix Suns are in pole position. And I now predict, along with you, our Nuggets and your guy Campazzo and our guy, the Joker, who's gonna win MVP, I believe they're gonna come up short in this series.
It's tough. I mean, I really thought that what they would do is attack Ayton. What they would do is get fouls on him, get the ball to Jokic early, the first 5-10 possessions, get fouls on Ayton. Ayton didn't get his first foul until the second half. They didn't do that at all. Jokic played pretty pedestrian. I like the defense that Ayton played on him. Ayton played him one-on-one. They didn't throw two guys at him. Do you know how many assists? The soon-to-be MVP had? 3 assists the entire game. They had a game plan. They executed it. And I love those three that they have. They've got Chris Paul, calm, floor general, come in, fourth quarter, guess what? I'll take over, guess whatever we need. Booker is super exciting scorer, can beat anybody off the bounce, and he can shoot from three. And then you've got Ayton. Ayton's not Kevin McHale in the post. You know, he's not Robin Lopez with the jump hook. But what he will do is catch the ball and dunk the ball when you create a basket for him.
And also, Michael Porter Jr.'s productivity is mandatory for this team. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I noticed in their half-court offense, he was rushing his shots. And I'm not saying shooting early in the shot clock. I mean rushing his shot, which is two different things. If you notice, those are contested looks. Those are rush looks. And at 6'10", Jacoby, he got to pump fake some of those. He got to drive it towards the basket, look for contact and finish. I believe he'll do better at that if he's healthy in Game 3. By no means will this be a sweep, but just looking at the guard play of Phoenix reminded me of the NCAA tournament. And I was like, oh, they got great guard play. They not losing.
Yeah, Chris Paul feels like that senior guard, like the senior guard of the NCAA tournament that's just not there for, not no jitters, calm, and takes care of everything. I love what Chris Paul has done for this team. We'll look forward to Game 2 in that series, but now we turn our attention to Wisconsin. And no, we're not talking about the Bucks losing to the Nets. We're talking about, are the Green Bay Packers losing Aaron Rodgers? He will not show up to camp, which was expected, but it will cost him $93,000. Jalen, we've talked about this almost every day since he sort of announced his disgruntledness. What do you think will solve this stalemate between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers?
So he already paid $500,000 for not showing up. He's made like $250 million in his career. Do you think now finding me $90,000 is going to make me show up? He ain't going to be there. not going to be able to do it. And I'm hearing so much critical analysis and amazing breakdowns of the psyche of the Green Bay Packers, their fans, and of Aaron Rodgers. Here's all they have to do. Show them the money. And you know what I actually did? Some research for this show, Jacoby.
What?
Put up there the handful of quarterbacks that are going into this season with zero guaranteed dough. And Jay-Z once said it with Big, I love the dough more than you know. Big Ben restructured. They was 11-0 last year. The Rooney family gonna take care of him. You know they got loyalty, so he's an outlier. Jimmy G, they was shopping him all offseason. Derek Carr, we haven't seen Chucky commit to him yet. And Ryan Fitzmagic, he's gonna start the first three games and then get benched and then start the last three games, and then we're gonna celebrate him being on this 19th team next year. And then you have Aaron Rodgers, the current MVP of the league, zero guaranteed money for a franchise he's been playing for over 15 years. I wouldn't show up either.
It'll be really interesting to see how this plays out, because right now it's just June. Then it's going to be July, and then it's going to be training camp. And if he's still not in practice for the Packers, there will be some more drama. Something tells me we haven't heard the last of this story, but we're moving on to another one. The Trailblazers season ended at the hands of the Denver Nuggets, and the president of the Blazers, Neil O'Shea, said that in the coaching search, Dame's input is very important. And another thing he said was that it was not a roster problem that the Blazers had this year. What do you think about Dame's input in the coaching search?
Dame's input should be paramount. It should be the exact opposite of what the Green Bay Packers are doing with Aaron Rodgers. Just look at their playbook and do the exact opposite. You make sure Dame is happy. He has another handful of years on his current contract, and through that contract, he'll make almost $400 million. He's not just your all-NBA point guard. He's your partner. You allow him to be involved. And the elephant in the room was when he said he wanted Jason Kidd to be the coach, and then Jason Kidd came out and said he was uncomfortable with Dame saying he wanted to be the coach. It made me think, well, since they have the Bay Area in common, maybe they had a conversation. It was like, hey, dog, I got a great job. I get to coach LeBron. I get to coach AD. I'm reinventing myself after what happened with the Bucks. Either I'm going to get this gig or I'm going to get another gig someday. Are you going to be there to play out your contract? And Dame probably was like, I don't know.
Maybe.
And then he was like, good looking. I appreciate your honesty. So you guys go ahead with your coaching search. And I saw a couple of their names. Did you see Juwan Howard's name on there? He coaches at the University of Michigan, right?
I think he'll stay in Ann Arbor next year.
But the great thing about what he's done is he's gonna now be a candidate for so many other jobs. Like Juwan's probably gonna be in for Boston as well, and well deserved. But Chauncey Billups' name is another name. He's the assistant currently with the Los Angeles Clippers. So they got a couple of candidates that they're gonna bring in, but ultimately you gotta make Dame happy. And what's gonna happen with Nurkic? Like, he came out, he was unhappy with his role. Like, he's under contract next year. Four of their five starters are still under contract along with Covington. Also, is Dame in the office when they say, hey, Dame, if we're gonna move somebody, the best value we could get would be for CJ. How does he take to that conversation? That would be an interesting dynamic, because for those who haven't paid attention, and Jacoby mentions this a lot, Dame and CJ are really similar because they need the ball to be their most effective. But before he got hurt, CJ McCollum was attempting 10 threes a game and averaging almost 30. So if and when he ends up somewhere else, remember this conversation and don't be surprised that he's somewhere else putting in work.
Well, will Kristaps Porzingis be somewhere else next year in the wake of the Mavs losing to the Clippers in seven games? We'll talk about that and the future with Luka and the Mavs right after this. You are watching Jalen and Jacoby. Stay tuned. Thursday night doubleheader on ESPN. It is a must-win in Milwaukee for the Bucks. That's at 7:30, game three between them and the Nets. And then in the nightcap at 10 p.m., it is the Clippers against the Jazz. That is all on ESPN on Thursday night. Coming to you live above the Heineken River Deck here in New York City. Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, we have game one between the Clippers and the Jazz. What are you keying on in this series?
I got the keys. The Utah Jazz elite three-point shooting. Record-breaking three-point shooting. For the Clippers, dominant Kawhi. Like, Kawhi's the dude at the run that can dunk anytime he get ready, but only does it like when it get close to point game. And you notice it ain't like spectacular ooh and ah double pump backwards. It's like, I'm focused and I'm about to go in here and bang on y'all. I don't care who in here. And I'm gonna lock down whoever else on the other side. I love seeing dominant playoff Kawhi that's playing like one of the best players in the game. So can the Clippers slow down the Jazz from knocking down the threes? And who in the world is going to try to slow down Kawhi? Because he's been dominant.
Kawhi has been amazing for the past couple weeks. And one of the keys for me for the Utah Jazz is Rudy Gobert. And I'm tough on Rudy Gobert, Jazz fans. I know. But I will say this is, if you can get him involved on offense, we know what he can do on defense. But when you get him in some pick and rolls on offense, you get him finishing up like Donovan Mitchell does right here, he can be very, very important. And if anyone can stop Kawhi, hopefully Rudy Gobert
can
guard the rim and at least contest on some of those Kawhi jump shots, because they do like to put Rudy Gobert in pick and rolls in the playoffs.
One team also likes to
put their bigs in pick and rolls on the opposing team, and that is the Atlanta Hawks. And they have a big game two against the Sixers in Philly after getting game one. You see what they do right there. They're putting Joel Embiid in the pick and roll. What do you think is the next move on the chessboard for Doc Rivers and the Sixers?
I'm glad you went there, because I was going there. And the thing about it is cause and effect. We have Trae Young with basketball. We have Bogdanovich with basketball. Joel Embiid's man is now going to come set the screen. Either A, they're going to shoot the three. Either B, they're going to drive and kick to somebody else. Or either Trae Young is going to shoot a floater or throw a lob to Collins or throw a lob to Capella. Cause versus effect. Now, if you're Philadelphia, this is when you know you're going against a superstar, because you scrapped your first plan already. You remember when the Clippers benched Patrick Beverley? Because they realized that he couldn't guard Luka. Danny Green started on him last game. I don't anticipate that's going to happen in this game. So now more Thibault, more Ben Simmons, more adjustments to the other team's best player. Trae Young is now putting the league and fans on notice.
Absolutely. And Jalen, now we're going to talk about a team that lost to the Clippers that we just mentioned, and that is the Dallas Mavericks, in particular Luka Doncic, who was asked if he would be interested in signing a max extension, and he said, I think you know the answer to that. There is that aspect, and also Kristaps Porzingis voiced a little displeasure with the way he was used and his role with the team. Jalen, they need to put more support and help around Luka. That was clear in the Clippers series. What do you think they do this offseason to address that?
And his most reliable helper, Tim Hardaway Jr., is a free agent. Which makes all of this more crucial. With that being said, you take care of the first domino. You get Luka signed. And once you get Luka signed, you now decide if you're going to get pennies on the dollar for Porzingis, and are you going to take your time to scour the league and get a contract for a player that situation has gone sour for as well. Like, on paper right now, it seems like it may be hard to move Porzingis. But when you start looking around the league and start trying to match up salaries of players, there's ways to do this. But then here's the other thing, the ownership part. How does Porzingis feel about his season? So it's one thing about how you and I feel and how Luka and Rick Carlisle feel. What did Porzingis say after the game about how he felt he was being used, Jacoby?
He said that he felt like an afterthought and not a co-star. And sometimes you gotta look in the mirror, like he needs a close friend. Like he needs a close friend to pull him aside and be like, dog, you're not the co-star. Do you see Luka Doncic out there? You should be a role player, a rim runner, and you should play some defense like you did when you were at the Knicks. I think you trade Porzingis for 70 cents on the dollar just to switch it up. I think that's what they will end up doing, and they should do. Mr.
But
Rose.
What ends up happening as a player, the older you get, the pecking order on the board changes. So it's like you're Anthony Davis, best player in New Orleans, second best player with the Lakers. You're Paul George, your best player here, and your second best player here. So now for Luke, for KP, I think what has happened is he is now shown that he can't be the second best player on a championship caliber team.
Well, Julio Jones may not be the second best player on the Titans. He might be the best player on the Titans, and he is in Tennessee. It is official. We'll discuss his impact right after this. You're watching Jalen and Jacoby.
The Millennium Falcon.
Welcome back to Jalen and Jacoby. Jalen, it is official. That is new wide receiver for the Tennessee Titans, Julio Jones, getting off the plane and touching down in Tennessee. What will he bring?
A physical specimen, an actual beast. That's a blur on the field, Jacoby. But as a fantasy football player, I noticed something.
What's up?
He was getting a lot of yards, but not necessarily getting a lot of touchdowns. Now playing alongside A.J. Brown, being up there in age and being able to do play action with Henry, we get a chance to see, was it Matt Ryan not getting it to Julio, or was Julio not being really effective in the red zone? This is going to be a great opportunity for him to do so with the Tennessee Titans.
We'll be back tomorrow on ESPN at 2 p.m. We always say we get the people what they want. Part of that is doing podcast exclusive content for you, our podcast listeners. Now, Jalen, I saw this story. I really want to talk about it. So I didn't show it to the producers because they would tell me I'm not allowed to talk about it. So I just write it down. I sneak it onto the podcast. This is the too hot for TV topic of the day. Kevin Durant played great last night, didn't he?
Yeah, he 32
did. 32 points. Just cross, double crossing Giannis. Any level. He's like, oh, you want me to finish with my knuckles on the backboard?
I'm on a new
no
level.
Problem.
You
I'm want
on
me
a
to
new
shoot
level.
From three? You want me to pull up from mid-range? Anything you want. You want me to give a couple assists? No problem. Well, we've learned from an adult film star, Lana Rhodes, says that she was flown out to hang out with a nameless member of the Brooklyn Nets organization. She didn't want to, you know, break the code. But she did say they were a Libra. Well, the internet did some research. There's only one Libra on the Brooklyn Nets. The only one. His name is Kevin Durant. And Lana, this woman, this young lady, this professional, Lana Rhodes, said that that during one of the times that she allegedly hung out with this person, again, I have no idea if this is Kevin Durant, Mr. Durant, if this ain't you, I have no idea. Listen, I'm just telling you what she said. She said she was hanging out with someone from the Nets. She might never, ever have met somebody from the Nets. Who knows? But she said that basically as a backup, when she went on a date with this person, they brought their own young lady as a backup. Just to guarantee himself some action. So she thought she was having an exclusive, you know, exclusive hanging out situation. Little did she know that there was, in case of emergency, break glass best friend that this young man brought along. Soft move or boss move? Bringing a date to your date.
Boss move. And there's a lot to unpack here, and I'm the perfect person to do it for the audience.
Great.
This is why you're listening to Jalen and Jacoby for 10 years. We give the people what they want. Right now, before I speak, you have one person download this podcast on Spotify. You have one person download this on Apple. I'm going to take 5 seconds and wait before I really spit this game about this topic.
So you want the people listening to call a friend to tell them, okay, got it, go, we're back.
Yes, okay. Yes. All of the above. Text somebody, call somebody, do it right now in your phone. Think real estate here, right? And location, location, location equals value. I love playing the game Monopoly growing up. And I love playing it as an adult too in my personal life. I really do. It's one of the things I enjoy. Buying and flipping properties, doing reconstructions, like, that's actually one of my hobbies. Like, you'll see that side of me at some point I've shown too many sides of me already. So for this young lady, as much as she does not want to break the code, and she's done a great job in her heart by not saying anything that they've ever said or done. She didn't put no text out there. She didn't put no IG post out there. She didn't put no bedroom talk out there, no pillow talk out there. But here's where the real estate part comes in. She's an entertainer and a performer and a professional also. So now, if she gets a chance to date Boardwalk, she at least got to put a hotel on it. You know what I mean? Because that helps her value when she goes back into her marketplace.
Okay.
So I'm not going to say who it is, but I'm going to let y'all know it ain't the 15th man. You know what I mean? And so that's her value play.
Mm-hmm.
Let me talk about his value play. His value play, C Superfly. That's his value play. To have as much fun as possible. Because
that's what it
tomorrow
seems like he was
ain't
trying to
guaranteed.
Do.
Have as much fun as possible. And I advise everybody to watch the old version of Superfly with Ron O'Neill and watch the newest version as well. I like how that was done. Shout out to my guy Hype Williams who did the new version. And so, you're investing in somebody's time that's a professional that's helping their value. I'm also investing in my fun and my well-being. So since I'm paying you, that means I can have whoever else present that I want. And in some cases, that might be a bodyguard, that might be a homeboy, that might be a friend or a relative, that might be a teammate. It might be a homegirl. It might be somebody that if I play this right, y'all can actually get closer than y'all ever imagined y'all would get close when y'all woke up this morning. Because y'all didn't realize that y'all would meet today.
I think it was definitely, based on her story, it was definitely the latter. And I will also say that I had to do some research for this topic. And she sort of disclosed this on one of her podcasts, of course. And I will just say that Ms. Rhodes is a very attractive young lady. And whatever her and other consenting adults want to do, God bless them, whether they're on the nets or not. But
Is she getting on Tiana Trump's corner?
No.
Is that what I hear?
Different corner.
Okay, got it.
But she's a very talented young lady. Extremely talented young lady. So Jeff Bezos, right? My son hates Jeff Bezos. First of all, shout to Quincy for his birthday. Turn 8 today. Big shout to Quincy.
Happy birthday, nephew.
He hates Jeff Bezos.
That is crazy.
He hates Jeff Bezos because every time he orders something from Amazon, he says it takes too long. He starts cursing about Jeff Bezos, right?
He's like,
every time an Amazon
Smart
package
kid.
Comes, it's not what he wanted. He gets mad at Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos says that he is going to go to space with the first ever Blue Origin flight, which I believe is like his answer to SpaceX or whatever. But, you know, I'm open to this stuff. I'm more adventurous than you. I want to go skydiving for the show. I'll do stuff like that. But I feel like if you're worth as much as Jeff Bezos is worth, you should probably just stay in our hemisphere. Stay, you know what I mean? Shouldn't you probably just stay in our atmosphere is what I mean. Like, why would you be risking all of that when you're worth that much?
A couple of things. All success stories obviously come from, like, different fields, different backgrounds, different walks of life. I think he's entering a phase of his life of just fearlessness and enjoying life and just trying to do so many things that money can't buy. That is what this sounds like in a lot of ways for me. It's kind of like what I've seen from Will Smith have his resurgence as somebody that realized that he's in his 50s now and the entanglement thing happened. And I know that he was embarrassed by that. And then all of a sudden I saw him jumping out of planes. I saw him doing all kinds of stuff. For me, like the whole like going to space and putting yourself at risk thing, it's not that I don't want to be adventurous. It's that I'm actually scared. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't jumping out of a plane. I'm not gonna be able to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like, as much as I wanna live and like, I have a zest for life and it's gonna be safe, I ain't jumping out of no plane, dog. Like, period. And so, I ain't bungee jumping. What else you said, just skydiving? Like, I'm just not doing none of that because in my mind, I'm really high in the air. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? My wind quality and my air ain't gonna be the best. You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure you open your mouth the wrong way or something, that could be fatal. You know what I'm saying? What if I gotta sneeze? What if I gotta yawn? You know what I'm saying?
Like, I don't think it'd be yawning. I don't know if there'd be too much yawning.
I don't like to be in situations where I have no room for error. Like, what if something itch? Like, what if, like, I don't like, nuh-uh. Like, you've been to one of my places with me that's really high in an undisclosed location. And I don't like walking out on that balcony.
You wouldn't let me go on the balcony. You would not let me go on the balcony. And you acted like you didn't want people to see you or something. Like, no, we're way high up in the sky. You ain't that famous. You know what I mean? People ain't checking for you. That's why you didn't want to go on the balcony. Okay.
Hey, dog, I came to New York in the summer of 94, PMD video. I saw it coming. That's why I went solo. Ice Cube in the video, too. New York has crazy skyscrapers. I'm a Detroit kid. We don't have tall buildings like that. So first I get to New York and just like, whoa. You know, I came when I went to the Nike McDonald's All-American game and all of that stuff, but I wasn't like off wax and like mm-hmm. drinking 40s and getting it in. You know what I'm saying? And so like, I'm in New York and we up on the roof and like, we going on the elevator to do this video shoot. And they like, it's on the top of this building. And I'm thinking like, all right, you know, whatever, whatever. And so the elevator is like one of these unsafe cargo elevators, dog. It's
oh, yeah.
Unsafe. Like, to me, this is unsafe, dog.
You got to close the gate with your own hand?
Yeah, I know
those ones. You have to put the
hell
like, gate
already,
expands.
I'm like, yo, before we even left the ground, I'm already like, all right, now. I got this dude like closing it and trying to slatch it and hitting it. And it's moving and shaking.
And when you go up and down, you see the walls, you see the numbers of the floors. It's
just like there's no real door. You're like, oh, I'm like, right. Oh, no. So we get to the top, and not only are we on the top floor doing the whole video shoot, but there's a section inside where you can sit down, sit on the couch, go to the kitchen, you know, have some beverages, play the video game or whatever. But most of the people who are familiar with that lifestyle, like everybody else was outside. So it's a video shoot. So everybody champagneing and campaigning and getting it in or whatever. I walk outside. I'm like, wait a minute. Ain't no railings around the building?
No, they got like a little, they got like 10 inches just for rain. 10 inches just for drainage. That's it.
I'm like, so let me get this right. So somebody could just go jump over this thing or fall over this thing or get drunk or get... Like, somebody could get mad at somebody and just push them off of here right now.
Yes.
I'm like, no. I'm like, I'll be doing mine from inside. And so, like, I know, like, these busty ladies bikinis.
Quick edit to the scene.
I know the busty ladies with bikinis in the champagne scene that was supposed to be outside on the roof. You know what I'm saying? But I ain't going back out there. So... My scene ended up being me and Ice Cube playing Sega Genesis because I wasn't going back out there. No railings on the top of a building? Not gonna be able to do it. So no, I ain't doing it. No, Jeff Bezos, he can have going to the moon.
Did you see the picture of the pool? There in England, they have a pool, which is it's between two buildings and it's completely transparent.
No.
Like glass.
Like an infinity. Pool. Type pool.
No, but yo, dog, like you're floating over the world. You could see, like you look down at the pool, see your feet, and then under that is a huge drop to like thousands of feet.
I'll tell you what you're gonna see. When you look down and you look at those feet, they gonna be white. They ain't gonna be black. Those feet are gonna be white. And whenever somebody get a chance, give me a
photo. They had a picture of it. I did a quick diversity check. And I think you're right. I think you're right.
We're not doing that, dog. And here, let me answer your first question. When your ancestors started in slavery and you haven't got reparations and you finally have some success and you finally have money, you finally make it out of the hood, you finally don't have to take penitentiary chances, you definitely ain't about to take chances on your own.
It's a fair point. I'm going skydiving for the show. Demetrius, if you're listening to this, we can book me a Long Island skydive. Google it.
Let's do it.
Get me out there. Jalen's got days off during the weekend.
We do it in July.
We'll film it.
We do it in July. Later in July.
It's going down. I'm jumping out of a plane.
I got to also shout out our social media audience and my brother Jacoby. I was going through social media yesterday, and I appreciate a few people that actually hit me up, cursed me out like family, and got mad at me. And I accept it, got mad at me that I had the nerve to not have Jalen and Jacoby in our bio. Got mad at me.
It's not that.
It's not that.
It's not what you do, it's how you do it. You had J&J in your bio. And not only that, I remember one time I had like the host of Jalen and Jacoby on ESPN2 at 2 p.m. And you're like, yo, you got to change that. You got to change that. It's ESPN now. You were like hawking, checking on mine. You know what I mean? You're like editing my bio. You had J&J in there one day. We all have Twitter. We know the buttons you got to click. You click on the profile. You click edit profile. You find this part that you want changed. You push delete, 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 delete. You know what you did? You deleted my heart, dog. You deleted my heart.
Well, a couple of things.
No, first no. Off, there's no talking your way out of this one.
First
no,
off,
no.
Just take I take 100% blame. And let me tell you what happened. I'll tell you guys what happened. It's the reason why I went to Michigan instead of going to a HBCU. I sold out.
Sold out.
That's what happened.
You sold
for
out.
For that moment, I must have looked down at the edit and was probably upset at something that happened within the mechanics of the show. And I did a Dennis Schroeder.
Something with the mechanics of the show. Yeah. It was like a graphic he didn't like, a topic bar wasn't worded right, and he just straight deleted.
You know, but you know what else this reminded me? And I'm about to update it right now because I take ownership. But this exercise kind of reminded me of something. And I'm trying to give Pat Gunther, our guy, the best. And we got the best team in the game. Shout out to Alyssa, shout out to D.
Best team
shout
in the
to
game,
our whole
apparently
team,
upset
Tommy,
with some of the mechanics of the
Reg
show.
The ledge. But you show your appreciation. And that's what I do. They don't care
really?
About my Twitter bio.
That's what you do?
You show. But let me finish.
You
let
showed me that you don't appreciate this program when you deleted it from your bio on Twitter.
Let me tell you what this exercise. Let me tell you what this exercise taught me as I'm going IG lives on weekends to promote our fine show. When I'm walking the street and I've been a public figure for a very long time,
and I'm
proud of this. I'm recognized for a lot of different things, not just one. So what I want to ask our social audience is, what are five things you know me for? What are five things you know me for? I saw a few answers. Some people may know me because Kobe scored 81. Some people may know me because of the name Jalen, or I was a member of the Fab Five, or because of this show, or because of my fashion or my haircut. Like, whatever you know me for, I'd be curious to know. This is a self-assessment. And probably, you probably know me for being a fool. You probably know me for being irresponsible and undisciplined. Like, whatever you know me for, please tell me the five things you know me for.
Gotta change the subject. Let me tell you something. I have not, like Jalen, I have not been famous for a long time, but there are two types of people that come up to me. There's when people say, I watch your show all the time, I appreciate you. And people say they listen to the show every day. And those people that listen every day are part of the family. That's why we always do podcast exclusive. And we want to hear from you. Call 985-80-JALEN. You can leave us a voicemail and we'll put it on the show just like this.
Yo, yo, what up? Yo, what up? It's your boy Big Crown right here. Got a quick question, man. I'm at an age, man, where it's all about comfort, man, you know, as far as my feet. So I rock flip-flops and slides all day, but I would never rock them without socks. So is that a cultural regional thing? You know what I'm saying? I got to rock them. I got to wear my socks with my flip-flops and my slides. I can't be ahead with my toes out. I mean, is that cultural regional? What y'all think?
First of all, Big Crown! Shout, Big Crown. The greatest mail carrier of all mail carriers.
It's a family affair.
When they put the, they're gonna have a mail carrier hall of fame. This gonna name it the Big Crown Mail Carrier Hall of Fame.
See,
listens to the show every day while he gives you your mail.
See, here's why I love Jalen and Jacoby. We'll have the same enthusiasm for Big Crown that we have for DeAndre Hopkins, Benny the Butcher, and Damian Lillard. That's why I love this show. The same enthusiasm we'll have for Maria Taylor and Taylor Rooks we have for our guy Big Crown, who's been with us since day one. And Big Boy from Outkast clearly was not the first to do this, but he was one that made it mainstream because he was a part of a group called Outkast that went diamond and more eyeballs were on him. It's kind of like Rasheed Wallace, Ball Don't Lie. A couple of media members assumed since he said it, he was the first to say it, not realizing that people was saying that in 1970 when I was playing basketball. Okay? So I would say this is definitely, he asked for cultural or regional, right? So it's cultural to wear the socks, but it's regional to need to wear the slides. You know what I mean? Like, you're not rocking the slides if it's cold, but it's cultural to wear the socks. But Big Crown, your overarching point, the only people you're gonna see at work with flip-flops and socks, they're gonna look like you and I.
But Big Crown's on his feet a lot. He's a mail carrier. So I just want him to be comfortable, you know?
No question.
And I always thought flip-flops and socks kind of like were a basketball thing. You know, because you don't want to wear your gym shoes, they're tighter or whatever. You don't get them dirty for whatever reason. Your feet, after playing ball for a couple hours, your feet hurt. So then you just put on some slides. I always imagine that was just but it might be cultural. I don't really wear flip-flops and socks. I don't really wear slides. It's regional too. I've noticed that New York males don't really like to have their toes out. It's just too dirty. The subway's dirty. The city's dirty. It's just like, I don't want to have gunk underneath my toenails. If I'm in Los Angeles, I'll have my toes out. But if I'm in New York City, taking the subway, walking around, no.
That's why this one could be cultural or regional, because what you're describing is proximity. Like in New York, you're surrounded by tons of people that are strangers very often.
Mm-hmm.
In LA, you need a car to go everywhere. Nobody's really walking. They're not taking the subways everywhere. Their public transit system isn't the same. And so I definitely feel like it's a little bit of both, but we need Big Crown to be comfortable when he's delivering his mail and he's listening to the pod.
Of course. Thank you so much for the call, Big Crown. We got time for one more voicemail. Don't forget to call 985-80-JALEN so we can put you on the show just like this.
Hey, Jalen and Jacoby. This is Brian calling in from Jerusalem. Shout out Reds the Ledge. So I've got a cultural or regional question for you. And also, I'd love some advice. My wife and I are having a baby at the end of August. We're trying to figure out a name. And I'm Jewish, and so is my wife. And we have a tradition of naming our children after people who have passed. And I know that that's one tradition. And Jalen, I know your mom made your name. And so I'd love some advice, A, about what to name our kid, and B, you know, is it cultural or regional to name, or even religious, to name your kid after someone who's passed? And if, yeah, what are the traditions from where you all come from? Thanks so much. Keep giving the people what they want. Keep getting those checks. Have a good day.
I need to get to Jerusalem, dog.
That's your spot? You going to Jerusalem?
I, that, I'm telling you, I'm about to get on my Will Smith. I'm telling you, dog. I'm about to start putting some tattoos in my passport.
You get so happy around this time of year. Right around this time of year when you see the end of the tunnel of the NBA season, you start looking at the globe, spinning the globe, put your finger on it, be like, I'm going there. I'm going to Jerusalem. Well, Brian, I got a couple things for you. Number one, I've got the whole thing figured out. You mentioned Jalen's mom creating the name. You mentioned that it is tradition in the Jewish faith and culture to name people after family members or people that are close to you that have passed. Here's what you can do. Instead of just naming your baby Jalen, you can be like Jalen's mom and create a new one. Much like Jalen is a combination of James and Leonard, you take two people that have passed, maybe one from her family, one from yours, combine a couple syllables, make up a new name, maybe you'll have a new Jalen. Check all the boxes, Brian. What do you think, Jay?
I like what you did there. Rest in peace to my mother, Jeannie Rose. I love and miss you very much. I literally yesterday, and shout to, of all people, you ready for this? Adrian Wojnarowski.
Shout to Woj.
We know him to be the best insider and information guy for public consumption in the industry. He's actually a friend of mine. And he did something that I really appreciated.
What's that?
A couple of my high school friends actually went to St. Bonaventure. Shout to Garland Manns. And Woj and I go back a long way. I never knew that we'd be working on the same show together. I never knew he'd be working at ESPN. Over the last couple of years, that has changed. So Woj, being the best information guy in the game, he gave me a terrific card with sympathy for my mom and a couple of them, and it included a few pictures of her. That I don't know where he got them.
It's Woj.
You see what I'm saying? Like, I don't know where he got these pictures. So I'm looking at like these four or five pictures yesterday that I got from Woj, right? One of those pictures are of you and her. And I was gonna send it to you yesterday, and I started reminiscing and I started playing LTD songs, and I just like, it slipped my mind. But I'm gonna send it to you today. And I like what you told our caller. And that is really smart. And he said, is it a boss move or a soft move, I believe, to name your child something religious? My oldest daughter, her first name is Mariah. Her middle name is Christian. Second oldest daughter is named Jeannie because her mom is named Jean, and my mom, obviously Jeannie. They were like, this baby, before you get up out of this hospital, gonna have one of our names. So Jeannie wasn't supposed to be her name. Her name was actually Sophia, and here's we get to the religion, Grace, Rose. And in a typical black family fashion, her name is Jeannie Sophia Grace Rose, and we don't call her any of her four names. We call her Gracie.
You're the best. Appreciate you. Forever shout out to Jeannie Rose. We will be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen?
We're not done. We are not done.